exactly 8:10. We can get ready for puja. So tonight, who is coming out to light the candles and the incense? Or have to prepare? Must get meeple. Where is meeple? Meeple? Oh, no, prepare the candle. Oh, prepare already at the back. Oh, okay. Okay, tonight, who hasn't light the candle? Who else? Suyan decide. Oh, okay, we get Mr. Ao. Lina. Is Lina there? Oh, okay. Two. Any more? Li Hong, Li Hong. Oh, Li Hong seldom come, yeah. Chu Lai Tian. Tian La Chu. Tian Xiang. Come in, yeah. We haven't started yet. About to start the puja, yeah. Yeah, sadhu, yeah. Yeah, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu. Yeah. Okay, can we all get ready for puja, Stand? Yeah. Sadhu. Then pass on, Sadhu. Sadhu. Yeah, can join here. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Thank you. Yeah, come. Sadhu, come. Okay. You all can be seated. Then we prepare ourselves for puja. You try to compose your mind. Develop the faith, the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then with that mind that is composed, we will be respectful the triple gem. We will chant the Thai tradition. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Bhava. Bhava means reverential salutation to the Buddha. Now we will chant the salutation to the Dhamma. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then you can turn to page 4 of the chanting book. We can do the chanting from there. But before we do the chanting, maybe for the benefit of those who are new, the purpose of this puja or devotional practice where we make offering to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha is to develop our mind. The Buddha called it spiritual faculties. When you have them, your mind state will be very beautiful and it can allow you to understand the spiritual teaching. That's why it's called spiritual faculties. So the 5 spiritual faculties are here. You're supposed to develop the faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. By doing that, you can also develop the confidence and faith in your own self. Then virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity. After understanding who the Buddha is, how special, how wise and how perfect he is, and how beautiful the teaching can help us to liberate our mind, to free our mind, so that we did not confront life with delusion, so that we may not have to encounter suffering anymore. So virya is a spiritual zeal that will motivate you or give you the spiritual zeal to move forward. Then sati is mindfulness. That's why when we make offering, we offer to the Buddha, we do it mindfully, with full attention and awareness. Then we rejoice by saying sadhu. Rejoicing is called sadhu in Pali. When you rejoice with the wholesomeness that you see, when you rejoice with their strong faith, with their generosity, their sincerity. So it is a meritorious action when you do that, and when you rejoice, your heart open up. There is a lot of joy inside you, and you like rejoice with your understanding to do all this wholesomeness. And these are all very, very meritorious and very, very meaningful. Then after that, the other two spiritual faculty were developed on its own when sati is developed. Sati is mindfulness. When mindfulness is developed, samadhi will come in. Samadhi is a state of mind that is collected and unwavering. When you develop samadhi, your mind is very different. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, or think of something, your mind will not be affected. It will not stir, it will not react, it will not project, it will not give rise to fear, worry, anxiety, or delusion, because that mind has clarity, and it has this samadhi to make it collected and unwavering. Unwavering means it's composed. It has samadhi. It will not react, it will not stir, it will not project, it will not create negativity. Then you become peaceful. Because of that, you can see things clearly. You can see things as they are. And you can awaken to the truth and the reality. That's how you develop the last spiritual faculty, which is called wisdom. So this is the spiritual faculty that can enable you to meditate and understand spiritual teaching. Without this five spiritual faculty, most living beings, because of their inability to train this mind, they will have the opposite five, which we call mental hindrance. And this is the mental state that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from becoming mindful and aware. That's why when you have the hindrance, you think a lot. You have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety, you have suffering, misery. That's why your mind is very restless. Restlessness is one of the hindrances. Then your like and dislike, sensual desire and ill will. Every moment of sense experience, you react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And when you react, you will arise the pleasant and unpleasant sense experience together with the likes and dislikes. And these are opposite pair of duality. So whenever you react that way, your mind is not peaceful. Either you like or you dislike. So positive craving and negative craving will create suffering in the mind. That's why you are always disturbed. Then when you cannot get what you want, even positive craving will bring about suffering. So the five mental hindrances are very powerful. Okay, now with that, we can start our puja. Turn to page 4, then we will start the puja chanting. We will start off with the Vandana. Vandana is the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adina dana weramani sikha padang samadhiyami kame sumichachara weramani sikha padang samadhiyami musawada weramani sikha padang samadhiyami Sura meraya maja pama datana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now you chant the padipa puja, which is offering of likes. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kesumasantatin Pujayami munindas siripada sarorohe Pujimi buddhang kusumenanena Punnena matena chahotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasabhavang Adiva setu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatu muttamang Okay, turn to page 18, the last page. We will do the puja aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Understanding the significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our moralities, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami or generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give you a pure respect, Triple Gem. Bhutang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself. Make sure body and mind relax. Then maintain a stable posture so that we can develop the meditation. Second session after the puja is meditation. So now I will get them to off the light. Those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who are new, I will give you some short instructions so that you can understand what you are doing. Then I will teach you how to train your mind to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. Then after this is developed, you will have more and more inner peace. Then in order to develop further the mind state, we will train you to develop metta or loving kindness so that you can also have inner well-being. So the byproduct of meditation is very useful. At least these first two will make you beautiful. When you develop this meditation, you will have the inner peace leading to the inner well-being. And when you have peace, your mind is very beautiful. You've got no more stress, no more agitation, no more restlessness, and no more negative mind state. Then you have more control over your mind state. Means you already trained. You want your mind to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. You don't have a situation where you force yourself to be peaceful and yet you are not peaceful. So this training is very useful. Then when you are peaceful and calm with inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind. And this is the third advantage or benefits of cultivating your mind and developing this type of meditation. Then when you have clarity, it can allow you to understand a lot of things, spiritual teachings. It can allow you to understand yourself clearly. The thought process, how they condition you into negativity and other things. And through this understanding, you will have the ability to see things much clearer and you are less deluded by what you see. And because of that clarity, you can make better decisions. And it can make you more efficient when you do your work or when you study for exam. If you are a student, if you are working, your career life will be a lot easier. Then when wisdom is developed, your life becomes beautiful. A lot of things which you experienced in the past, the Buddha called it suffering, you come to realize you don't have to go through all this unnecessary suffering. So the Buddha specifically in the teaching says suffering need not be. When you come to this world, you can live life beautifully when you understand clearly what life is all about. So this teaching, we call it Vipassana meditation, will enable you to develop the clear understanding to understand life. Then you will have the condition to live the beautiful life of an enlightened being, or what they call a noble one. Okay, now I will teach you how to train your mind. Like I explained just now, the reason why living beings cannot meditate, they are not peaceful, their mind is not calm, is because of the mental hindrance. Mental hindrance arise because you do not know how to train your mind. You don't have the spiritual faculty. That's why the hindrances are very powerful. And if you throughout the day arise this type of hindrance because of your lack of mindfulness training, then it becomes habitual tendency. to the extent that you become very heedless. You think a lot, you worry a lot, you are easily agitated, you have a lot of restlessness of mind. When fear, worry, anxiety arise, you are not peaceful. When you confront life situation like health problem, career problem, relationship problem, and even other life related problem, you will not be able to develop the inner peace because you worry about them, especially health. Then sometimes financial problem. Health problem affect a lot of people. Then mental problem, relationship problem also affect a lot of people. So this meditation can actually free you from all this suffering. So the first thing to do is to decondition all this heedless thinking and the five mental hindrance by cultivating the spiritual faculty. And the best way to do it is the mind sweeping method. When you train your mind to become peaceful and calm with the inner peace leading to the inner well-being, your mind can overcome the mental hindrance, although it's temporary, but it's a good start. Then after that, I will teach you how to develop the meditation. Yeah. Now you listen. Huh? Relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Yeah? Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then relax body and mind. Forget about all your problems. If the thought come and disturb you, you can talk to the mind or the thought. Allow me to have the space to train my mind to develop this inner peace and inner well-being. Whatever that the mind want you to think or attend to, you tell the mind, wait till after the meditation. Then there will be space. Then you can actually allow yourself to have the space to meditate. Then you close your eyes, maintain attentiveness, attention to feel your forehead. Just feel. No need to think. Just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within your forehead muscle, you just relax them. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel. Don't think. Feel all of your facial muscle together with your eye muscle. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Relax, relax, and relax into it. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you move it down to your facial muscle. Strand by strand. Just feel. Relax. Feel, relax, feel it soothingly, relax. Whatever tension, whatever tightness or stress within that you can feel, just relax it. Then to assist you further, you can combine by radiating loving kindness. But before that, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a very radiant smile. When you can smile radiantly with joy and with happiness, your facial muscles relax naturally. When there is joy, there is happiness, there is no stress. That's why when you visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile, you will be peaceful, you will be very calm, the mind will have a lot of joy. That's how you release your facial muscle tension. Then you combine with love and kindness. You recite, follow what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Each and every cells within your body, feel it, the inner well-being and the inner peace. Then you can repeat this. may I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind, and the joy. Then you continue to radiate. May this body and mind of mine be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You can feel that your physical body and your mental without suffering. Then you can continue to radiate. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May the mind state be well and happy always. May there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Then you can extend the same metta to your loved ones. You can recite as follows. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them, then radiate this love and metta to them. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful. May they always have right thought, beautiful thought, wholesome thoughts. Then may their mind states too be free from all suffering, free from all delusion. Then may there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this same metta to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all Kayanamitas or Dharma friends or fellow meditator who are here. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful always, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this same metta to all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth, then the whole of our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, extending onwards to the entire existence of our whole universe. May all beings within this entire universe or existence be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. You just feel silent your mind and just feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel relax. Shoulder, do the same, feel relax. Hand, feel relax them. Then back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your chest area or your heart area. This is a very important location because this is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is also the seat of consciousness from where your life force, your karmic force arises and passes away. This is the source of consciousness. And from here, you feel, you just silence your mind and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat then you just stay there, silent everything. Just maintain awareness. But you are still new, you have not trained your mind. Chances is you can't feel anything. Never mind. Then, like you feel your forehead, now you feel your heart. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly relax. Relax every mind state that you experience when you are there. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel, do the same, relax into it. Then move it down to your abdomen. Again, feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method. From the leg, you feel, relax. Then your buttock, you feel, relax. Abdomen, do the same, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Your heart area, silence everything and feel. Then relax them all. Then you move on to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder and neck, just feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel and relax every strand of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then your eye muscle, your forehead. By now you should be much, much more calm and more peaceful. Then you silence everything to stabilize this mindfulness or this inner peace that you have developed. You can do it by cultivating anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is training your mind to develop the mindfulness of your in and out breath. Every time you breathe, you are seldom aware. But if you do this training, your awareness will develop. You will become mindful of your own breathing. And when you can do that, you will progress. And your mind will become very beautiful. You will have inner peace, born of a special experience they call PT. PT is a meditative inner peace, born of the mind that has the ability to be mindful without thought. When you are able to be mindful without thought, your mind is very calm, very peaceful, and you will experience this spiritual peace or spiritual joy. Sometimes they call it spiritual rapture. To do anapanasati is very simple, like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then just relax body and mind. Breathe in, breathe out normally. Then as you detect your breathing, your mind just follow. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, your mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Means the awareness and the breath move as one without thought, in perfect harmony and synchrony. Initially, if you are new, you may not be able to do it, because when you try to maintain attention in front of your nostril, within split second, the mind will wander off. It thinks a lot. You find that it cannot stay there to be mindful of the breathing. This is because of your mental hindrance, your habitual tendency. Because in the midst of life, when you have this hindrance, you continue to stir your mind until it becomes a habit. So this habitual tendency continue to allow your mind to drift away. They call it lost in thought. You are not able to maintain the inner peace, inner mindfulness within. So what you do is, every time this mind wanders off, be patient. Don't react, don't become unhappy. Just tell yourself, the untrained mind will behave this way because you have not trained. So you must be patient. Give yourself some time to develop this anapanasati. You just silence everything and maintain awareness. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. Then not long, you will be able to detect this breathing. As you develop this ability to be mindful of the in and out breath, you will become very calm, very peaceful. You will experience piti. Then you continue to relax into it, and you will experience a type of breathing which is very different. They call it mindfulness. There is a lot of mindfulness. The breath and the mind move as one. Then breathing becomes very, very different. You will experience a type of long breath through your mindfulness, and your mindfulness will develop clarity of the entire breathing process. That is like you are fully aware of all of the movement within your breathing. Then you continue to relax and silent. This piti will be more and more refined until it becomes sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss, a very blissful state, which is even more peaceful than piti. And it is so blissful that you will experience that meditative joy that is so intense until you feel the blissfulness within you. Then you will develop the interest to meditate. And such a mind state is not easy to come by. Then you continue to relax into it. Even piti will transform. And the mind becomes so quiet, so still, and so tranquil. They call it pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. This is the meditative mind. So we are here to train our mind to develop sati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then from sati, stabilize it until you experience piti, sukha, and you hit pasati. If you are patient, it is not difficult. Within a short period of training, you should be able to develop it. Then when pasati is developed, you just relax and silence everything and just feel your breathing until it becomes very subtle, very still, like no more movement. Then that is your silent mind. That is your meditative mind. Then use it to meditate. You will develop a lot of understanding and clarity. Okay, now let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. These are the mind state that can help you understand the meditation, the teaching, and also help you to live life accordingly. So when you can stabilize this mind, train it until it becomes a part of your nature, means, like I said, the mind that is trained listen to you. You want it to be peaceful, it's peaceful. You want it to be quiet, silent, it will be silent and quiet, just the way you want it to be. It's just like you train yourself to do anything skillfully. When you have trained, everything will go your way, even playing games, cooking, everything is the same. You have complete control over what you want to do with the thing you have trained. Like badminton, you want to place the shuttlecock anywhere, it will listen to you. You want to return it anywhere, it will listen to you. So when your mind is trained, it's the same. You want it to be silent, it is just silent. Peaceful, it's just peaceful. Then you want it to be aware, it will be aware. Then you want it to understand anything, it will have the ability to do that. Because when you are trained, you have inner peace, inner clarity and mindfulness to allow you to do all this. But when you are not trained, this might think a lot, heedless, a lot of hindrance. That's why you will off and on have this restlessness of mind, fear, worry, anxiety, heedlessness. So all this is what meditation is all about, training the mind to have the appropriate mind state to allow you to understand things clearly, to insight into the characteristics of nature, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, which are common to all phenomena in this world. That's why it's called a universal characteristic. Everything exhibits this characteristic. Every phenomena, including my voice, everything that you come to perceive and experience through the mind. Maybe tonight I will share with you what is a phenomenon. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. So any movement, any vibration, or anything that the mind is conscious of, that is a phenomenon. So you can have mental phenomena, physical phenomena, or nature's phenomena. All these three, they have the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature. Because everything is just conditionalizing causal phenomena, not what you think, not something that you can hold on to and want it to exist in that state forever. Is impossible. Condition arising state or phenomena is impermanent because dependent on condition, it will change, it will move. That's why it's in a state of constant flux, F-L-U-X. So this universal characteristic can help you penetrate the teaching and develop clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and what this phenomenal world is all about. Then you can see clearly without delusion. Okay, with that, maybe we will move on to the chanting on page 6. Page 6 is the evocation to the devas. Devas are heavenly beings, or they call deities. These are special beings, higher beings. And most of them, they have this ability to understand the Dhamma because they cultivate before. So we will invoke the invocation to invite them to partake in this sharing. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Itti Piso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabhu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yaditang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Buddha. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. sang hang puje me. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can continue with our next session. Normally, the next session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. But tonight, I think we will vary it a bit. Oh, last Thursday, like I promised, those who would like to have these notes on lying down meditation, understanding lying down meditation, based on the transcript that we did while we were at Wu Ping Ching Se, I think it's dated 6th of September. You can collect them on the way out. It's in this box. Those who wants, and even if you at the moment haven't reached this stage of cultivation, but you can read through it and keep a copy so that later on as you progress, as you understand, you make sure you get hold of this copy. Because it is something that you will need later on as you develop the meditation further. And when you reach a stage when you can be mindful throughout the day in the midst of life, then you can do your sitting meditation very easily. You don't have to train your mind anymore. The mind-sweeping method, loving-kindness metta, all you can do away with it, because by then you will have developed the perfect training of the mind. Your spiritual faculty would have developed this five. When these five spiritual faculty are developed, automatically the five mental hindrances cease to be, and you become very different. You become very peaceful, very heedful, and you are throughout the day very calm, very mindful, with a lot of understanding and joy within your heart. This is what the Buddha called heedfulness, mindfulness, to cultivate the meditation throughout the day. Initially during your waking moment, then later on even when you are sleeping, your conscious and subconscious state, you can be in a meditative state. That's what lying down meditation is all about. That's why you will come to understand by then, meditation can be 24 hours, and it's possible to do that. So this is some important understanding that you must have in mind, so that later on as you progress, you will understand what this thing is and know how to do. Then the other thing that I want to maybe share tonight is there is a group of about 14 or 15 or 16 kilometers who went to India recently. And they just came back, I think, last Sunday. So last Tuesday, we had this Tuesday class where we get those who went to share with us their experience, so that all Kayamitas can rejoice and learn from what they experienced. And tonight, I think there are still a few more who has not shared. That night, we only managed to get, I think, 3 or 4 person to share. We only get, you should listen to the recording, the Tuesday one, very good. Especially the sharing by the Kayamitas. We managed to get Joyce to share, then and Chung, not and Chow, and Chung. And Padma Suri and Susan, I think. Did you finish your sharing, Susan? Where is Susan? You still want to share? You still got any more to share? Maybe we get you to continue. Okay, pass the mic to Susan. All this sharing can bring about faith, can bring about joy, you can rejoice. Then in the future, when you go for any of these spiritual trips, you also know how to prepare your mind. Then you understand how they go through all this pilgrimage. they went to the four holy sites of India. During the time of the Buddha, he actually, in the teaching, told the monk, he said, these are the four holy sites that the Buddha has actually experienced major happenings there. First is Lumbini, where he was born. The mother gave birth to him in Lumbini. Then after that, there is a place where he became enlightened, Buddha Gaya. Then after that, there is a place where he delivered his first sermon, which is, I think, the Vulture Speaker. Sarana. Oh, the other name is Varanasi, is it? Or it's a different place? Oh, Tusana. So that is a place where he delivered the first sermon. Anyway, I know it's a deer park, a lot of deer. Means the first teaching after his great enlightenment, after he became the fully enlightened one, he went there to meet up with the five ascetics and delivered the first sermon, where they call it the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, means the first turning of the Dhamma view. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Dhammacakka is the wheel, the turning of the wheel of birth and death. So this is the sutta based on the first turning of the Dhamma view. That's why they call it the first sermon delivered by Sakyamuni Buddha after his enlightenment. Then the last place is, of course, the place he passed away. But they don't call him like die and pass away. The Buddhist has a special way, a special term to define the passing away into Nibbana. Actually, this form of mind sees nothing die, but then it realizes Nibbana. That's why it's called the Parinibbana of Sakyamuni Buddha. And that is where Kushinara is. So this four holy site, a lot of Buddhists, they try to go there because it's of great inspiration. And if you've got affinity, you can feel the nature there, the energy there, and the beautiful beings that are still around. But it depends on your affinity and your understanding. So anyway, they went with a group of other monks and devotees from Thailand and certain other part of the world. So now they are back. So we saw a lot of WhatsApp photo earlier on. And there's a lot of joy too. So maybe tonight we get Sister Susan to continue to share. Okay, Sister Susan. Yeah, you can start. Push it all out. It's on already. It's on already.
Brother Teo?
Yeah.
I won't repeat what I've said.
No problem. No problem.
There's just two things that experience that I had.
Yeah.
One of which was, there was a point where I was aware that the mind and body was one.
Yeah, that one is a very good experience. When the mind and body is one, means you are in the state of sati awareness. And you will experience that thing very often when you are on spiritual trip, because the faith that you have, sadha, will actually give rise to the virya, the second spiritual faculty. Then when sadha and virya is there, your mind will fall into place. You will develop sati, mindfulness. Then when there is no thought, when your mind and your body is one, that is the first foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupassana. That's why not only body and mind is one, your breathing is also part of your body. So when you develop anapanasati, it's also mindfulness. So kaya nupassana include breathing, mindfulness of the in and out breath, mindfulness of whatever posture you are in, standing, sitting, walking, or lying down. Then all of your action and movement, they are all part of kaya anupassana. All of your physical activity, physical movement, that's like body and mind as one. Then you are in sati. And when you experience that state, your mind is very calm, very peaceful. It's not thinking, it's just aware. Then this awareness is very sensitive. Then as you are able to develop the stability of it, it becomes very quiet, very still, and very peaceful. And this one, you need faith, very strong faith. So when you are at this spiritual place, holy places, where you can feel the gratitude, of the Buddha, the loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha or the great beings, then also at the same time you can feel the nature and the energy there when you have meditated enough and you have this ability to connect, then you have a lot of faith, a lot of joy, then this will awaken your spiritual faculty. Then the moment you hit this sati, you will connect and open up your nature. Then you can draw the nature of all these great beings, including the great bodhisattvas and Buddha. They are ever radiating for the cultivators of the way. So if you are a cultivator with a spiritual faculty, you can detect their nature, and they will be there to help you, to assist you. And there are many, many experiences that you will come to experience. Especially the Tuesday class recording, you will listen to An Chong's sharing. Oh, that one is very beautiful. How with that nature. She actually, this is her second time to India. The first time was 2 years ago, 2013, and that was also because of special circumstances. Then that trip turned out to be so beautiful, meant to be. Then this trip also even more beautiful. The first trip when she went, she didn't know what to expect. But I told her, because from the sign and from what she reported, I said, you have affinity with India, you have to go. So then she went. The moment the plane landed, the chanting, the mantra from Kuan Yin came to her heart straight away. Then for the whole of the 21 days or so while in India, that mantra, that chanting is always there. And she was throughout the day mindful, non-stop for the whole period. And the mind is so different, so still. That's why that time she connected. Then later on when she came back, she stabilized. Then this trip she went, you go and listen to the recording, you know. Like the nature can even talk to the beings and the non-human there and the higher being. Then can even invite them to come and say, now, this time around, I have the ability to help you. Now you come. Then she can do all those things. Then she received a lot of things. The Maya teaching, well, there were many of these chanting from all the various Buddhist sects. While they chant all the Mahayana teaching, they just, the nature just draw and it just penetrate, and a lot of things happen. You listen to the recording, you will know. Okay, now we allow Susan to continue. Sadhu to you. Susan. That mind state is very important. Mind and body as one, silent, still. That is the meditative state. To do that, you must have spiritual faculty. That's why her faith very strong. Sada, virya. Then she can experience them. Then at most places, they also experience all this stillness of mind, silent, peacefulness, awareness, body and mind as one. Okay, you continue.
Brother Teo?
Yeah.
There's one other thing at one of the sites.
Yeah.
I was meditating. And I felt a jerk at the heart, but more towards the left. Yeah. When this is on contemplation thereafter,
yeah.
There there was like a connection that hit that part
correct
of the heart.
Yes, and you felt it very strong.
I felt it very strongly. But whether it was a thought, I don't think it was a thought.
don't worry, yeah. You will know. Because when it happened, the most important thing is when your spiritual faculty are there, which you are having them, then you will experience it, and it's very different. And when you relax into it and express that joy and that silence, you will actually benefit a lot, because it is the nature of those great beings and those whatever energy that is around that is very conducive. And because of your condition and the affinity, you will receive them. And it will come in different way. Your experience is like a boat of energy that went in. And for N, something similar but in a different description. Then sometime before you arrive there, while traveling, if you are mindful, if you have the spiritual faculty, you have already trained your mind, your nature will feel all these things. And it will start to draw even before you arrive. Then when you arrive, it becomes very strong. Then you will know where this energy originate from. Then you will know how to move there. And most of the time it's because there are relics there. Relics. Especially in Kushinara, where the Buddha's Parinibbana, where they cremate the Buddha's body, then there is this relics that they actually receive, and they divide into the know how many portion. Then they build a stupa there. So a lot of this place, if you are sensitive, you have the training of the mind, you can detect them, and you can feel them, and you can draw them. Very good, Sadhu. I rejoice.
You're just very quickly, because the rest are also...
I know. Can. You summarize it.
At this point, Brother Teo, this point is the point where
I know.
The contact
yes
will be for every time of sitting and
even when you lie down
even when I lie down,
it become more and more prominent.
May I know, Brother T, is this the point of the gateway?
Don't try to know. Just silent. Then it will manifest on its own, because when you try to know, the thought is there, you cannot detect it. Then when you try to question using the thought, it becomes a doubt, which is a mental hindrance. That's why I say, don't try to know. Okay. Last time I used to write it here. Is it still here? Don't try to know. This one maybe put red color so that you all can remember. Don't try to know. No more ink. Got another pen. This one is very important. Don't try to know, because the knowing is from the thought. When the thought is active, when it arises, you cannot be mindful. You cannot be in a meditative state. You cannot have sati. Understand? So don't try to know. But when you come out of it, you can reflect and contemplate, and the understanding will come. That's why you have to train your mind to be in a meditative state. And what is the meditative state? Sati, silent, without thought, just aware. That's why you read Krishnamurti's quote, you will come to understand. Your true nature is just silent, nothing else. It's not a being inside there. It's just that stillness, that silence, that oneness, the original nature before anything arises. Whatever that arises is the creation from that. That's why even the Tao teaching is the same. Lao Tzu. He said, Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. Whatever that can be described or spoken of, is not the true Tao. Where the true Tao is beyond word, cannot be expressed, cannot be spoken. But then at the end, he said, nothing is apart from the Tao. Everything is still within the Tao. So a lot of people cannot understand, cannot reconcile. But because it is the Tao, that's why nothing is apart from the Tao. We are from here, the source of all things. From that source, everything come to be. That's why the Tao got this symbol, you remember? The yin and yang symbol. The yin and yang symbol, the duality. So one side is black, one side is white. But within the black, there is a white. Then within the white, there is a black. So all this, you will come to understand. Yeah, originally, is the oneness. Oneness, or what they call the true nature, original nature. So this is the Tao. Or oneness nature. Or the Buddha nature, or the true nature. Then from there, creation starts. That's why you got duality, understand not? You got the dark side and the pure side. Then within the dark side, there is also the pure. Means within every profession, there are still some black sheep. So within the pure, there is also the small dot, the dark. So this duality is thought-based. Delusion. When you are heedless, you create all this. When you are enlightened, you understand all this. Then you return to the source. Then you cease to be. That's what enlightenment is all about. That's what Nibbana is all about. Cessation of form and mind. But when the form and mind is still around, then you develop this understanding. Then that true nature, the wisdom, is the one that enable that form and mind, or the human being, or the living being, to actually understand life. And because it's connected to that wisdom, this form and mind, or this living being, is no longer deluded. That's why it doesn't suffer anymore. It is not deluded by the phenomenal world, by what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they taste, what they tactically feel or think. All this thought process, external phenomenal world, has got no power over them. Because they understand them clearly, their universal characteristic. So they are not deluded by it anymore. So it's always at peace, clarity. So the whole of meditation is to develop this understanding. And when you understand, your mind is very different. Okay? Yeah, very good. Sadhu. So, you finish, you finish your sharing? Okay, sadhu. Let us rejoice and thank Susan. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now pass the mic, Michael. Next one is Michael. Then after that, Sito and PG. Hey, aku ada soal. Pak Masuri haven't share, your pastor by the Pak Masuri. Our Pak Masuri shave while he was there at one of the temple, fully ordained as a nun for a period of time. Then Susan become her kapya, help her to handle money and other things. Can, no problem. She make it a point to write down her experience, which is good. You can share with us. Very good.
Actually, I have written down.
I read it in the email. I rejoice. Very good. Share it.
I think I have to tell the story. How come I end up to go as a nun for 21 days?
You can explain.
Actually, it all started with last year I went. So it was like a tourist touch and go for 12 days.
Yeah.
I have the aspiration to go with Ajahn Achalo. I knew that he's going this year. And he go alternate years. So last year he didn't go, but I have the time and that group. fits into my schedule. Mm. Every time when I want to follow him, he go before the school close.
Yeah, yeah, before the school holidays.
So I was thinking I go first last year, so this year, if I don't get the chance also, I still get yeah. good. So the thing comes this year, March. So I was hesitating. I just went last year and I see the condition is very tough.
Mm, yes.
The journey is very tough. Mm. So I was hesitating. So during our retreat in March, when we were in Cameron Highland, I knelt down in front of this Vairochana Buddha.
Vairochana Buddha. Huh.
So I tried to communicate with Vairochana Buddha.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah.
Buddha, you tell me, should I go or should I not go? I was hesitating, is it?
Yeah.
So this understanding, this thought float up in my mind. I said, you bring one nun, you bring somebody there, then you will go and you will not. No, I have the tendency of commit, then I pull out.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
So I say, you bring somebody, then you cannot pull out. Is it? This thought come like that, you know.
Yeah.
So as, okay. And then actually before that, I've been seeing Teng Xiong Sifu working in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, wow, he really deserves something good.
Yes, yes.
So as I was walking out the main shrine, and she walked towards me.
You.
So, you know, it's just by nature, I asked her, have you been to India? Do you want to go? She said she wants to go.
Yeah.
Actually, it is meant to be.
Yeah.
Actually, her disciple has invited her twice.
She didn't go.
She didn't go, and this time she agreed to come along.
Yeah.
So from there on, that's how it happens. And then, actually, at first, I was thinking, just go.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said, I have been there already. If I just go, it doesn't...
Yeah.
It's not too so
correct,
meaningful.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Then I was thinking to take precepts and then following Theravadian way or Mahayana way. Somehow things just unfold and I end up to be a Mahayana nun. And then, so actually I felt very strong urge this time that going is not for me. Something that I have to do. It's not for me.
It's
all
like your
along,
nature.
Yes.
No, there is something for you to
that
do.
I have to do something there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not for myself.
Correct,
all
correct.
Along is this.
Yes, yes.
Until I went up to Cameron Highlands and I took the rope from Sifu, I can feel the energy is very strong in inside that I have to do something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I was packing, because I'm only allowed two sets of ropes.
Yeah.
That is according to the
tradition. Yeah, yeah.
So I only brought the ropes and then brought two sets of clothes from before the renunciation.
Before the renunciation and after.
So when I was there and then according to the Thai tradition, they cannot ordain nuns.
Correct. Yes.
So that difficult things come out.
Yeah.
And here I'm very very thankful to Sister Susan, who make an arrangement that I can ordain in
One of the Burmese temples.
One of the Burmese temple.
Yeah.
And then Sifu becomes my preceptor.
Your preceptor. Yeah.
Then, so from there on, then we come back and join
Ajahn Chalo again.
That is trip.
Mm.
And then, after I contemplate after I come back the other day when I recollect back, how come this thing can happen like that? I have an understanding that things happen for a reason.
Yeah, meant to be.
It's meant to be.
Yes.
I have been wanting to follow Reverend Mahinda
as a
novice monk these four sites.
Yeah.
I didn't get to go any one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And now one shot 21 days, I cover all the four sites.
All the four sites, yeah.
So I don't have to shave four times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, very good.
So the understanding is that the other day when as I recollect, the understanding is come. Things happen for a reason. For whatever reason it happens, we need to face it with a positive mind, and we have to experience it as it is. Then
very
you will have less suffering and more peace in our mind.
Very important.
That is what I recollected the other day. And
that understanding will come to you. Yeah, when
only
you already
after
develop.
I come back and I recollect. And during
the cultivation.
The, Okay, then I come to very long. But
never mind, read lah. You don't want to read, I help you to read. Maybe I read, it will be easier.
Okay, if I were to use one sentence to describe this pilgrimage trip, I would say it is beautiful at the beginning,
yeah,
beautiful in the middle, and beautiful at the end. Mm. I'm very grateful to the condition and the people who have directly and indirectly made this pilgrimage trip as a temporary nun possible for me. Among them are Ajahn Ajahlo, who allowed me to join as a temporary nun even though I have not attended any of his trip or retreat before. Sister Joyce, for coordinating the Malaysian group. Sister Susan, for being my kapya and doing all the arrangements for the shavings. And Teng Xiong Sifu, who gave me the condition as my preceptor. Okay. In fact, she was invited to go to India twice by his disciples, but she declined, and this time she accepted my invitation. I should thank her for her guidance and advice and blessings to build up my faith and confidence. Oh no, this one is that's why this. But she agreed to come along. Last but not least, I should thank Brother Teo for the guidance, advice, and blessings that built up my faith and confidence. Without this, this trip would not have been possible. Actually, the dinner the other night, before the dinner, I was not very confident. I'm really not confident. That's why I don't know the nature told me you have to get help from Brother Teo. I need to get his blessing and. He
that's
really
why
helped me.
She came and requested and then took me out for dinner too.
And then we moved the whole
Thursday class over to her place. It so happens Sui An was not free. Where you all went?
And I requested.
Because that was the day before they fly off the next morning.
I requested from him. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Okay, during the shaving ceremony, I was calm and peaceful. All the Malaysian pilgrims came to the Burmese temple by the tuk-tuk to witness and give me the support during the shaving and the ordination ceremony. I was really touched by them and really feel the Kayana Mitaship when in times of need. I was calm and peaceful initially. But when Sifu starts singing the gata, and when she starts putting the Hai Ching and the Man Yi on me, I could not hold my tears anymore. Because I don't know why it is in my nature that I really want to experience that for a long, long time, and this time it comes through. I remember when I was in Sydney also, I didn't bring my shampoo and I didn't get to shave.
Yeah.
Because I was prepared to shave, but I didn't get to shave. And I come back without shaving. I even go with a letter of consent from Brother Tung to let me shave. Brother didn't get to shave.
Tung, not Brother Tung. Brother Tung. Consent from the husband. Don't listen wrongly.
Reverend Mahinda told me no condition is not. There's no condition yet. That's why I came back without shaving, and he just laughed at the airport when he saw me not shaving.
That's why when the timing is correct, when it's meant to be, everything will fall into place. That's what happened. Okay, continue. Mm. Very good. You didn't describe the shaving.
I was calm. I was calm, and then they hold the white cloth, and then the hair drop. I can see, but I think Michael have a shock. Michael was the one who keep staring at the ball.
And you can read on. It was the tears of gratitude to all the good condition.
It was the tears, and also it's the tears of gratitude to all the good condition and. for all the good condition, my mentor teacher, Brother Theo, Susan, Sister Joyce, Kayana Mitas, who have made this possible for it to happen. It's like everything is already set. It's only waiting for the right time to happen.
Yeah.
But actually, the first day they told me we are the Thai side because I think they have their constraints.
Yeah, they told me they are
not involved.
Correct.
So I thought this
they
time,
don't want to get themselves involved.
So I thought this time tradition. I'm going to fail again and come back with the hair.
But it happened,
Okay. It took me quite a while to adjust to this physical form, the bald head and the Mahayana robe. And then I made the most humble bow to the triple gem in my life. Without the hair, my head reached the floor much faster than usual. And I'm aware that my mind wasn't as peaceful as usual when I'm out of my comfort zone with the 10 precepts and some of the Mahayana, Bhikkhuni, Vinaya, which I don't really know and understand. Because they are altogether 300 over rules.
Yeah, correct.
So I wasn't in the comfort zone. So all the time, my mind was quite disturbed. It's not as peaceful. I realized that it's not as peaceful as before. And then here, I should thank Brother Theo also, once again, for advising me. Because before I went, Brother Theo told me, do not scared of making mistakes. Just be yourself. So this really helped me to get through the first 2-3 days of the adjustment period, because I'm very scared that...
That one is very important. Most people have fear, especially you go to a new place or a new job environment or to a new career path, because you are not sure. You are fearful of the unknown. Then you are not confident because everything is so new. So the Dhamma is you must have faith, confidence in yourself and yourself. Take whatever that comes naturally. Then echo and flow. Don't be afraid of making mistakes and yourself. Do according to your understanding. Then have faith in the Triple Gem. Then everything will unfold because if you trust your nature will take care of you. Because we are all born of our karma, head of our karma, condition is supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you take care of karma, you don't have to worry about anything. Then you just do what you understand. That's why in the early day when I cultivate, I go to retreat, I used to share with many Dhamma friends. I never do the way they teach me on. Because those way, my nature know is not correct. And I cannot do. That's why I do my way. Then when they interview me, which in certain cases it happened, I just tell them exactly what I did. And most of them just kept quiet. They dare not question any further. And they know this is very different. Then because I understand what I do. Then when I describe my experiences and all those things, they knew this one, they also cannot do one. That's why no question. Then they say, okay. Is there any more question or anything else you want to add? I say, that's all. Then they go. Then later on, many Kayamita, I told them, I say, as you cultivate, as you progress, you will become very different. Then you don't worry about what people say. Do not allow the thought to project and feel uneasy. Understand? Wow, if I report this, I will have big problem because this one nobody do one and nobody understand. I say you forget about it, you just report what you understand. Then most important is what? If you are confident, the Dhamma will unfold and people will understand you. That's why nowadays those who understand one, they know more like before. Very scared. Can I do lying down meditation here or not? What if people don't understand? Simply say, I crazy, lazy, sleep. Later on, Pamasuri will share with you where she was doing lying down meditation in the room. And Tan Siong Sifu didn't know, thought she's still sleeping. Call. But actually, she was meditating. But it's like that, because when people don't understand, they put you through tests, understand? Then when you understand, you will acknowledge all this, then you can explain to them. You should let them know so that they understand what you are doing. Otherwise, to them, they may think, wow, people already out there, he's still sleeping. That's why out of like kindness, they try to call you. But then actually, you are meditating. So all this, you will come to understand later. That's why what she wrote here is very good. This is from her experience. The part is very good. Just now, that part. Just now, you mentioned, don't be scared of making mistakes. Just be yourself. Be sincere. Be honest. All those shame, shy, all from the thought, not you. Your nature is very beautiful. You have the great potential to become a Buddha. You have that Buddha nature. You can also become enlightened anytime. So why do you look down upon yourself? Create the low self-esteem through the wrong thought, through your thoughts projection that arises the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. So all this you will start to understand. Then when you have this understanding, you become very different. That's why she overcome her problem of the first few days. Then later on she adjusted. Then she understand. You read on.
The next one is, it was 3:30 in the morning, the last morning in Buddha Gaya. So I was awakened by a very pathetic, a very chiang kind of cry. But there's no fear in me. But there's a sense of uneasiness and that I have to do something about it. So the next morning when I can't find time, I took out my wooden fish, which I brought along, and sang the great compassionate mantra and the Heart Sutra, three times to the person who cried. Okay, to the beings that cried. I shared merits and spoken to them too. Then I told them Mahabodhi Temple is a very good place to cultivate. Take the merits and go to the Mahabodhi Temple and cultivate and liberate yourself. I remember I told them only wisdom can free you and
sadhu.
Only you yourself can do it for yourself. So after that, the uneasy feeling ceased, and I left Buddhagaya at ease.
Yeah,
so
very good.
This one is very
important, because when you travel, especially to these places, India, actually there is a lot of suffering being around. And they ask for merits. And you cannot understand. Like she said, she got no fear. You cannot understand. It's very eerie. You can hear their crying, their howling and all those things. Then sometimes they come and disturb you while you are asleep because they need merits. Then they wake you up. But don't panic. You are in the spiritual path. You have your cultivation. You will understand them. You will feel them. Then you will know how to radiate metta, send all the metta. Then for her, it's even more efficient because she understands Mandarin. She can chant the Xing Jing, the Heart Sutta, and the Great Compassionate Sutta. And these two, Kuan Yin's special sutta, they are very powerful. The merits are very, very powerful, very potent, very different. That's why when she chant with the understanding, then she asked them to rejoice. Then with that merit, she said, go and cultivate, make aspiration. And the best place is Maha Bodhi Temple, the place where they built the stupa and the temple to commemorate the Buddha's enlightenment. Maha Bodhi Temple is at Bukaya, where the Buddha developed the enlightenment there. So all these are very important understanding and they are very wholesome. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can continue.
Okay. And another one is at the cave where Buddha was practicing asceticism. Actually, before we go, Ajahn Ajahlo did explain to us this is a very good place to make aspiration, Adhitana.
Adhitana.
So we with the explanation, so we went there. So I was put to kneel on a raised platform with the Sangha members. So I was the youngest, so the platform was slanting, they put me the last one. So the first time I joined them, so it was quite, it was a feel of satisfaction.
Yeah, you read on, you have written it there. Mm-mm. As I silent my mind.
As I silent my mind, my heart area vibrated. And a stream of
energy
entering my heart. Mm. I'm pretty sure that this is not my heartbeat.
Yeah, it's not heartbeat.
Eh? As I can feel my own heartbeat quite easily. Yeah. Then after that, I think Ajahn Acharlo, he sent something also. And he came to ask me, how is it? He came to ask me, but I reported to him, how is my practice? So I reported to him. He told me that is the energy. And many people can feel that kind of energy there. Because that is a place where Buddha practices asceticism for 6 years.
That's why they will feel this nature's energy, the great being's nature's energy. Just like just now Susan was sharing, suddenly there's like a boat of energy, very fine, strike the heart area. Continue.
I skip to Kushinara first. At Kushinara the Mahaparinibbana temple, I'm able to be in silent state for quite easily and for quite
a while,
even though there are quite many groups having chanting on at the same time, and the state of silence is quite very pronounced and very deep.
Yeah.
Okay. There were one instant that when we were about to leave.
Yeah.
I saw Ajahn Acharlo before he stepped at the door. He turned around and bowed 3 times.
Mm.
So I was behind him. So instead of turning around, so I went face to the Buddha. I kneeled down and bowed. So I had been practicing bowing. So as I bowed, when I lifted my head and silenced my mind, I feel the whole gush of energy
flowing towards you.
Flowing towards me. That really amazed me.
Yeah, for quite a while. So
for quite a while, that really amazed me. It was very strong.
Mm-hmm.
The one
but after that, very good. The understanding, very good. You read on. I knew that all these are
I knew
only,
that all these are only phenomena, condition arising. Mm. Only wisdom free us.
Always remember, only wisdom free you.
At that time, I have this. I know it's a phenomena, but all these phenomena
have strengthened
my faith
and
deepened my confidence that this is the path and I need to walk the path with sincerity, diligence, and patience.
Yeah. Sadhu. Very good. Because when you understand that this is the path, your faith becomes very different, unshakable. Then you will understand that all this can be experienced, like the Buddha mentioned in the salutation to the Dhamma. All this can be experienced by the wise each for themselves. That's like Pachetang Veditatbo Vinohiti. So all this nature, all this energy, you are not in the spiritual field, you cannot understand. But because you are in the spiritual field, when you have this faith, like what they did, then when you have this vow, this very strong virya to go this way, that's why when all this fall into place, you will connect. Yeah, this has been part of her vow from the past, things that she wants to do but couldn't fulfill and couldn't do. So when the condition arises this time, she has the understanding, then she able to allow it to manifest. Then, like he said, everything is meant to be. That's why it happens so beautifully. So, enough. Okay. You got part two, haven't come.
Actually,
I know you had printed it, but never mind, we let Michael. Next round, you continue. You want to continue?
Okay, one more thing.
Okay, you continue.
I continue part two later.
Yeah, yeah.
That one more thing that I came back on that day, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
So as I recollect, and this understand came to me.
Oh, very good.
Okay. We always say that we go on a retreat, pilgrimage, without any expectation. In fact, without any expectation is actually an expectation.
Yes.
Okay, we can only be in the state of without any expectation when our mind is silent
Correct.
And with the moment.
Yes,
that understanding
yeah. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is a very important. Well, all these are your thought telling you and justify. Oh, I must not have expectation. I must do according to what the Buddha tell me. I must do according to what Brother Teo say. The more you talk like that, the more active and strong the thought is. Understand? To be in those state is not the thought telling you. I must means the I is still there. Must not have expectation. Who must not have expectation? The thought. So the thought that don't want to have expectation is a movement from the thought. That's why you have fear. But to be in that state, like she came to understand, you just have to silent, be with the moment. Moment means what? You aware without thought. Without thought means no movement, no projection. Then you can really, really live life. Then understand everything that arise and happen. Otherwise, the thought very powerful one through the back door come back to you one. Oh no, I must not fear. I must not allow my thought to project. The more you say that, the stronger the thought will project. Where you want to do away with it, understand? You want to suppress it. You want to control it. This is not the way to fight thought. The only way to liberate your mind is to understand the thought. That it is only a thought. It has got no power over me. Understand? And what is a thought? Arise, pass away. That is what the characteristic is. Understand? Impermanent. So when you see that characteristic, then you laugh at it. Understand? It's just a thought. If I don't hold and give meaning, it loses its power. But the moment I believe the thought, worry about it, struggle and try to fight it, I become miserable. That's what Bayon Kathy is telling you. Every time you believe the thought, you suffer. Why must you allow your delusion to allow you to do that? That's why thought has power over you when you are deluded. But when you are not deluded, when you understand them for what they are, their universal characteristic, they arise and they pass away. That is what they are, impermanent, no reality. Then thought ceases to have power. Then you just allow it to arise and pass away and just silent. Like the Buddha said, the third way to overcome unwholesome thought, don't do anything. Silent, be with it. Whatever fear that arise, emotion that arise, envy, jealousy, or any negativity or mind state when they arise, just silent and be with it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't try to push it away. Even fear, just stay with it. The moment you stay with it, the very flowering of that emotion, which can be fear, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, or whatever, it will cease to be. Understand? Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. You know a flower? When it flower until you cannot flower anymore, what happened? The flower will wither, isn't it? Correct? When it flower until it cannot flower, means no more mental energy, it will cease to be. Like the flower, it will wither. That's why you allow the thought to flower. Don't suppress, don't fight, don't control, don't do anything. Because the thought is your egoic mind. If you do something, it's the egoic mind try to fight. And you create more thought, and you give it more power. It's like you add fuel to its burning. Understand that? That's why you don't do anything. The moment you are silent, the thought loses its power. Then you feel a very soothing, calm state coming back to you. Yeah, this is your original state of mind. Before the mind stir and become fearful, angry, emotional, it was peaceful, isn't it? So why can't you just silent and allow it to go back to its original state before it stir, before it create all this response and negativity? That's why when you understand the original state of mind is already at peace, that is your true mind, you no longer deluded by the thought, by the feeling, by the emotion. Then you know how to deal with them. You know how to understand them. Then you can go above them. That's why you can free your mind. That's what enlightenment is all about, awakening is all about. Then later on, all this will become very clear to you. Okay? Sadhu. Pass to Michael. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. And now we give to Michael Lu. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother
Yes,
Teo. First, I would like to, in the first place, I would like really to sincerely thank Joyce
organizer.
For organizing this
spiritual trip.
Actually, without her, I wouldn't be able to
partake
this trip with
Kalamitas.
In fact, this trip is very meaningful to me. For it just really gave me a lot of faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Before going to this trip, when I was going with the Putosan, when we were in Putosan, when they came back, I still feel that there are a lot of things that I really need to overcome. I mean, there's still a lot of questioning why, all these kind of things. But this trip in India, it's without any. I was very, very peaceful. I mean, for the 23 days, and in fact, for 23 days to be peaceful is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's very difficult to find such kind of peace in oneself.
Yeah.
And when you sit down in Bogaya to meditate, you can feel that the. You see, when the evening we had a different kind of a meditation, either in the morning, evening, and night. During the evening, the morning time is a little bit quiet, but there's different kind of chanting. There's a chanting of this, and also you have this surau there making noise, and you also feel that you are very at peace with the thing. So many noise, so many music going on.
Doesn't annoy you, but your
mind is still at peace, completely at peace. And
very good, sadhu.
And in the evening, as you come, there's a lot of birds, you know. I think those crows are in Bogaya.
Yeah.
The sound was there, the crow will start coming back, and then when the crow come back, the noise is a little bit slightly not that noisy, but towards the certain part of a point, it will become so
very loud.
You could. But then the miner is so
not affected.
It's not affected. So in this aspect, I must thank you for guiding us because of your guidance and all the things we tend to
you have this. To accord and flow. Then you have to accept them for what they are. That's why when your mindfulness is stable, when you have developed that understanding, you can be at peace with all things. You want to hear all this crow sound, you come to SS2, 6 something, 7 o'clock, a lot. But don't park under the tree. You will be given extra manual, M-A-T-U-R-E. The bird shit will collect on your car. But really, the sound of the crow, when they come, the whole tree is full. And it's so very, very strong, very loud. Then when you can allow your mind to be with it, I tell you, it's a totally different experience. And there is so much joy. Then there is no such thing as like aversion, dislike. You know, a lot of people, especially just now, you know, he mentioned, there were so many of these chanting around. Then you got a neighboring surau and all that. If you have this perception that you are a Buddhist and you don't want to listen to other chanting, I tell you, you cannot survive in this world. You become miserable because the world is just the way the world is. You cannot stop people from chanting what they want to chant, just like you Buddhists chant, your Buddhist chant. But you have to understand, everyone is different. They have their own belief system. They have their own ideology. They have their own preference. So they are just the way they are. So meditation and the Buddha's teaching is about developing wisdom to accord and flow. To coexist with everything, to be at peace with all things. That's why you have to be different from other people. Different in the sense that you can flow and accept everything. You can accommodate all things because you don't have duality. Understand? You don't discriminate. You don't have preference. You have understanding. And you are able to accept the differences. Differences because in their mind state is like that. They will be like that. They will do things like that. Just like I used to share with you all. Deluded people do deluded things. Wise people do wise things. Then selfish people do selfish things. So you can be at peace with all type of human beings. People who are deluded, they will do all those funny things. Then you cannot say they are wrong. Wrong according to you, because your view is they are wrong. But to them, they are right. You are wrong. So it's relative. Right and wrong is about relative, subjective. It's not an absolute truth. That's why wrong, right and wrong is conventional truth. So right and wrong will not solve your problem. Right and wrong will give rise to more argument, conflict, misunderstanding. That's why even among your family members, when you are staying with your children, your spouse, your loved ones, if you try to be right, you sure argue when I tell you. So don't try to be right. You just have to accept them for what they are. Then depend on condition. When there is condition to share something, only share. Otherwise, don't try to share. Otherwise, they will react back and tell you off. Then you become very angry. You say, how can my son do that to me? How can my daughter react like that to me? Then you never think in their shoe. Why my father always like that? Tell me the same thing. After so many years, boring already, it's almost said. When you are in their shoe, their thought process is different. Then outwardly, they try to like respect you. Sometimes they say, pay min, don't overstep the line. They overstep the line, they yell back at you. But when you have good children who have the understanding, they will never do that. That's why it depends on your karma. If you do this very often to your kid, or to your parent, in future you will have parents that do back to you, or children that do back to you. And you cannot say right or wrong, because you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So all this part and parcel of the teaching. So we should rejoice with what Michael experienced. We rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because he was able to be at peace. And I can ask you, how many of you can be 23 days of great peace? That's why he experienced that, and the faith is so different. The confidence in the Buddha and his teaching has strengthened and has become very different. So this is how you can benefit when you have faith. When you have faith, your spiritual faculty fall into place. Then you will receive all this spiritual teaching, understanding and energy. Okay, let him continue.
I don't know whether it's the coincidence or all these kind of things, because when I find that the since I started this coming to this meditation class, and I would suppose so that everything start to fall into place, and I could see that every day and every time I keep moving towards a more and more understanding of the Dhamma. I don't know, it seems very easy for me to whatever the teacher say, I can absorb it. Like so easily. So I find that, and I feel a lot of joy, because whatever that you're trying to explain seems to come in quite easily. And then I can recall it.
You can relate them to life.
I can relate immediately
to life.
And then
that's why there is so much joy, and it can help you understand things so far, so clearly. Then you got no more issue and no more problem with the world, with your children, with your loved one.
It's very true. Because
then you start to reflect on yourself. Then the Noble Eightfold Path change you, transform you. Before you know the Dhamma, you are very selfish, I tell you.
It's true.
You can go and check. You are very selfish, and you got a lot of craving. A lot of delusion. The egoic mind very strong. But when you have the Dhamma, when you see yourself clearly, you realize this is all against the nature's law, and you can never allow this to happen, because you see how you suffer, how people suffer, and how you transform, how all the good conditions fall into place after you understand this teaching. Then how the joy come back to you, the peace come back to you. No more of the old way of heedless living, where every day also like a lot of problem, a lot of suffering, a lot of stress, a lot of struggling. Then a lot of things like keep on chasing after life, keep on chasing after those things, and like unending. And as well, no time to rest. Want to retire also. The mind don't allow you to, because it cannot, not enough yet. I still need to earn more money because my children, a lot of reason, my children need to go overseas study. Then after they go overseas study, graduate ready, my children need my support to buy the first house. Then after that, grandchildren, their future, we must take care, unending at the hill. Then you will continue to struggle. That's why in Hokkien they say what? Zhou gu, zhou be. You run after money. You struggle for what? In the name of what? My children, my what and what. All this you think very real. Okay, we let Michael continue here. Yeah.
But my experience is that this meditation was also... other than that, there's one incident one day when I was in the Vulture Peak. Actually, when I was the second day after the meditation, then I find that I was my bladder very full, so I was going to look for somewhere to pee.
Oh, very good.
So I pee already. After that, I went down to the Sariputta's Sariputta's cave. I was only alone because they said that they said that it's too early in the morning, it's too dark. So I still went there and meditated. Sit there alone, I didn't bring any man.
Wow, very good.
So I sat down. The feeling is completely silent. Yeah. And I could smell the very nice fragrance.
Sadhu. Those
and
are
the,
from the devas. You just silent and relax, and you can actually next time redirect back your gratitude and your thanks. You rejoice with their wholesomeness.
I don't know what is it.
It is the deva's fragrance, because when they are around, that fragrance is very different. Very, very ho-hyong one, but very intense one, very strong one. But it's very pure, the fragrance is very pure. And when it comes, you will know. That's why every time when I smell those things, I rejoice. Then I always say sadhu. I say I rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Then I radiate back love and metta. Then we share well-being. Then sometimes I share with them the Dhamma. Like what Paramahansa always now understand. It is wisdom that free, nothing else. You have to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. And the essence of the Buddha Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, is very important. When I go to these new places, I realize this Four Noble Truths, very few people can understand. That's why when I expounded them, it's very different. When I was in Australia earlier on, I also did it. And many other places. So wherever you go, even in China, Thailand, or because these are the teaching that some of these non-human demons, they haven't heard before. Then sometimes they may have heard before, but it's not penetrative. They cannot develop the understanding. Then when you are there, when you have this understanding, that's why they will come and protect you. They will rejoice. And this news like can travel or not. Sometimes before our spiritual trip, before we go, well, we arranged the trip 8 months before, or sometimes 1 year before. Then they all waiting already, actually. That's why when you arrive, a lot of things will fall into place. The nature like very kind to you, and that place like very different, very special. And you will experience many, many things, especially those who have affinity. All the four spiritual sides. China also got four, no? But they belong to the four great bodhisattvas. Puttosan is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Utaisan is Manjusri, yeah? Bodhisattva. Vensua, foremost in wisdom. Puttosan is Kuan Sing, foremost in love and compassion and of course wisdom. Then you got Ermesan, Pusen. Pusen, the virtue, the 10 vow. They are very beautiful, simple but very penetrative. Then you got Chihuasan, Dizang Wang Pusa. So these four places, those who affinity who follow me there before, they experience a lot of fantastic experiences. And they will know. And sometimes before they go, the nature calling, and they will come. Then when they are there, they will experience them. And many of them cry, the tears and all those things. But these are not sad, the style of crying. These are the cry of inner joy, the inner nature actually felt something that they have been looking for. And most of these people, they have affinity and connection with those places. So that's why when you go there, you will have those experiences. How many of you cried when you were there? PG, Kwan also, many, especially those who went there for the first time. Okay, another few minutes.
The best is when when we are on the way back on the plane to from Bogaya back to this Bangkok. We were very fortunate. Pama Sri was supposed to sit beside the monk, but he says he's not going to sit beside the monk. So somehow or other, he asked me to sit on the seat. So we sat on the on his seat. Then it turned out this Ajahn is not a guy. This Ajahn is one who actually built the Bogaya,
Mahabogaya,
the top there,
the gold one.
He is the one who does all the projects. So
the gold plating.
So he actually, when I asked him, how did you come about to do certain thing, said to me, he said, he cannot say it because see, this cannot say. And then he gave one advice. He said, the biggest miracle is in life is to make yourself happy.
Yeah. Very good saying. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so today we can end. So today, 2 minutes before time. So very good record. Okay, maybe for the rest, if you want to share next Thursday, we combine together. I will also share with you the Jai Krishnamurti code, which I sent out through the email, my Kayamita site. You go back and read through so that we will bring the notes. I think the note is with who? Brother, you took back or not that day? No, in my house. In my bag, the whole thing. Oh, no wonder. Okay, so next week maybe we will share this, this one, yeah. I know. Yeah, they are here, I leave behind some here better, so that I don't forget, So yeah. Yeah, maybe put inside here. As you go out, you can collect if you want. Then remember to bring them on your Thursday class. Okay, now we do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we can end. We will chant the sharing of merits with the devas. Recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that you have developed, the 10 type of meritorious action that you have developed while going through all this sharing. So with the mind composed, we will develop the saddha and we will share these merits with all devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditoa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we had thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer marriage to the departed one. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will end.
Sadhu to all of you to make the offering for the puja tonight. A couple of quick announcements. Next week is Christmas Eve. I don't suppose we celebrate, right? Yeah. So we'll be having a class here. 24th, we are having a class. We are taking a break on New Year Eve, 31st. So there's no class on 31st. And then on January the 7th, Mifong and me, we are traveling. So the class will shift to Sister Ing B's house, January the 7th. And then on January the 1st, Sister Susan is inviting all of us to Klang for her house then. And can all of you please remain behind for a few minutes? We have something to celebrate. There are some calendars from Brother Michael here, so please collect at the same time.
You may take my recording.